Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Beast inside and I'm waking it up. I got a beast inside and I'm waking it up. Got a beast inside and I'm waking it up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That flawless voice you hear is Idina Menzel, who's got a new album out called Drama Queen, which you could stream now, buy now, whatever you want to do, listen to it. It's fantastic. And I've been talking about that song forever because I'm obsessed with it. And the Idina people reached out to me and asked if I wanted to interview her. Of course I did. I think this woman is incredibly talented. Of course, we know her from things like Frozen and Uncut Gems and Rent and Wicked on Broadway. And she's just incredibly talented. Wickedly talented, even, in the words of John Travolta. Remember that moment? The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem, he called her. We talk about that and more in my interview with Idina Menzel. She was so sweet, so kind. I hope you guys enjoy this. Of course, we wanted to be respectful of the SAG and WGA strikes that are going on right now, so we tried to keep it to things like music and Broadway in our chat. So I hope you all enjoy. As always, I will put this up on the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino and the number one. And we just hop right into our chat. And I had been recovering from a little bit of a sickness this past week when I did the interview. So I was so nervous, but of course I was not going to cancel or reschedule on Idina Menzel. So I tried to pull it together. And I did everything. I was like having my tea. I was having some caffeine, trying to make myself as sharp as I could. But I just wanted to give that little disclaimer. And I'm feeling much better now. But I just wanted to let y'all know that that's you do whatever it takes. If you get the opportunity to interview Idina Menzel, you take that opportunity. You get out of bed and you do what you got to do. So we'll be back later this week with recaps of The Real Houses of Orange County. And then the finale of And Just Like That is this week. So my buddy Hannah is going to be joining me for the recapping of the finale. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy this chat with Idina Menzel. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, I have a new book coming out at the end of October. I would love it if you pre-order it. It's called The Jolliest Bunch, and I'm so proud of it. I think it's great. So you can pre-order that now, or you can get my other book, which is out now on paperback. And with all that said, Idina and I get right into it and hope you enjoy this chat with the wonderfully talented, wickedly talented Idina Menzel.
Who do you have behind you?
I have Alf behind me. Did you ever watch Alf, like the 80s Alf?
Yeah. And then I wasn't that into Alf. I'm sorry, but I do know who Alf is.
How about the Rosie O'Donnell show mug behind me? Did you, did the Rosie O'Donnell show back in the day, I'm sure.
Yeah. I have are you recording?
I am. Yeah.
I have a funny, story about that. It was Rent and we were trying to do all this television, you know, because we were becoming this thing. And I know exactly when it was because it was 6 months into our Broadway run and not one of us had missed a show, which never happens in shows today. But because we're also young and new, we didn't know that, like, if you're losing your voice, you can take off and take care of yourself. And I was really having vocal problems. I didn't know how to pace myself back then. And I'm so busy. I hadn't seen my voice teacher. I was just not prioritizing it. And I was really starting to lose my voice. And I went to this doctor and he said, if you don't do it, you're going to get no'd. If you don't stop singing, you're going to get no'd. You have to take a week off. And I was devastated. And so I did lip sync to Seasons of Love on Rosie O'Donnell show. I never lip sync, but I did there.
Now I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something.
Watch it. I was singing in my head. I was singing in my heart.
Oh my gosh. Well, for listeners who are tuning in, that voice, that beautiful voice you hear is Idina Menzel, a new album out called Drama Queen. I'm so excited to talk to you. I love the new music. And we were just talking about the Rosie O'Donnell Show, which you had done back in the day. And you mentioned singing, and so many of your songs are so hard. And this was a question I was going to ask later, but just because we're talking about it, I wonder, do you ever sort of regret the recording some of these songs or hitting some of these notes, like Let It Go or Defying Gravity? Like, these are hard songs to sing. And I would imagine sometimes when you're doing a live performance, you might be like, why the hell did I record it like that? Does that make sense?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I regret it when I am standing there and it's either I haven't slept, my son was sick, so I got sick. I have a bad cold and I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. And yes, I think, why did I do that in the studio? And then other times when I'm feeling really good, then I say, yeah, baby, I just kicked ass, you know?
What's the hardest song of yours to sing? Like, what's the one you're like, oh, that is just tough?
That's a good question. They're all really.
I mean, I have the worst singing voice ever, and I couldn't even imagine tackling one
all
of your songs.
Fine, they're all great and fine when I'm singing a lot, and I'm sort of when I'm in my mode. Actually, you know, people think you get really tired 8 shows a week, but now that I know how to sing technically correct, the more I sing, actually, the better I am. It's kind of like, you know, it's like I'm an athlete. I think of myself as an athlete. So it's like a stretch and, you know, a runner, they're going to not do the marathon unless they build up. So I build up, you know, 2 miles, 4 miles, 6 miles. That's what I do. But the more I sing, the more worn in and like, my voice just gets more flexible. And so actually those high songs are fun for me when I'm in good voice. It's just, if I'm not in good voice, then it's really hard. What would be one of those songs? There's some songs on this new album that I was just feeling myself in the studios in great voice. So I was put them up there. And then when I was singing at Pride, I thought, oh, go back to the drawing board, Adina, and call your voice teacher and figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Well, I was watching an interview you did, and you were talking about sort of entering this disco era. And I again, love the new music, everything that I've heard so far. But it really, when I thought about it, it makes so much sense, this album, to me, because when I think of disco, I really do think of like big voices, and I like
that. Thank you. Where have you been on my tour here, on my promo tour?
It like makes sense. It's the combination in your song Dramatic, I just, hearing that big voice with that beat feels so good, and something of a throwback that we haven't heard in a while. And I know you've worked with these legends like Nile Rodgers and all sorts of people on your new album, but maybe if you could just talk about kind of going into that disco realm. And I'm also curious, like what specific disco songs you're really into or songs that you hold as kind of your high bar.
Well, in all the weddings and bar mitzvahs that I used to sing at, you know, I closed every night with Last Dance, Donna Summer. And we'd also do, in our disco medley, we'd do, you know, Bad Girls or something like that. And and then there's always I Will Survive, of course. So I knew how much I love to sing, but I think sing that kind of music. I'm so appreciative that you just framed it like that, because everyone's always asking me, you know, oh, you did something so unexpected. It's like lots of the women we know that have big voices and big personalities have gone this route before. And I think it's because this kind of music really lays a really great foundation for a big melodic dynamic voice. It goes through classic songwriting chord progressions, and it allows you to really stretch. You know, these days, some of the pop music is great, but it's a different songwriting. A lot of times it's just linear and it goes over the same chords the entire time through the verse and the chorus. And those kind of songs, they were songs that you could play at the piano and sing. You know, MacArthur Park is a song that could be a ballad, you know, and then it just has these great beats underneath. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, 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 I think it's I think it mixes well. You mentioned some of the ones that you performed at bar mitzvahs and weddings, and mm-hmm. I love that you, I've heard you talk about that before, but is there like a specific memory when you think back of that time in your life when you were, you know, hustling that way? Like, is there something that sticks out, or a wedding
you want
reception
a good
memory?
One?
Yeah.
I would love a good one or a bad one.
Either or, which, whatever the better
well,
story is.
It's sort of like the first couple of years I was doing it, I was so young that I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was lying about my age, and I was doing it at 16 and driving illegally to these temples and catering halls all over the tri-state area. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm making my own money singing, you know. And I used to pull up, I remember specifically at the Fox Hollow Inn on Jericho Turnpike in Long Island, and I remember Michael Monticello was valet parking, and he was one of the guys in my grade that would give me a hard time, and I remember he's like, are you a guest at the party? I said, no, I'm performing this evening, you know. And so I loved it. Then as I started, so funny if you think about it, I used to be up there, and when the crowd was, the guests were not listening, and I was doing something that I thought was really good, or some old lady came up and was like, can you turn it down, you know, or, you know, it was just, or some drunk guys came up all around. I remember there was a time I was singing, and Julia Roberts was actually one of the guests at the party. It was out in Short Hills, New Jersey, and the groom and all his whole fraternity were as drunk as could be. And I was singing Respect by Aretha Franklin, and they all came up and they were like slobbering all over me and dancing and taking my microphone. And so all I kept thinking was, and it felt like humiliating because Julia Roberts was there. I don't know, something about that, you know? I would start to say, I can't curse on your.
Yeah.
On your
fuck yeah, you can.
Okay, yeah. These motherfuckers, you know, they would just wait, you know. It was like, just you wait, Henry. I'm not going to be here pretty soon. I'm going to get out of here. And then on days when I felt really demoralized as opposed to defiant, I'd be like, if I'm still 30 and I'm doing this, I'm giving up. So 30 was, oh, so stupid. But yeah, I always had this belief in myself, more back then probably than I do now. I felt I was so determined and really believed in my heart that it was going to happen for me. There's such a fearlessness to me, I think, to a lot of us when we're younger, don't you think? And then if you become more successful when you're older, then you feel the eyes on you. And my anxiety has actually gotten more because scrutiny, and you know, you have more to lose and all of that stuff, that inner saboteur. So but those were that's the range of things that I experienced back then at Temple Beth Shalom.
Have you seen Julia Roberts since? Have you ever had the opportunity to say, like, I remember this event?
No. I mean, I've met her briefly, but no, I never was able to do that. I'm trying to think. There was a story. So now I do sing at weddings I have sung a couple of weddings, but I get paid much more than I did back then. And there'll usually be a house band that's there, the band with the, you know, the girl or the guys, whatever, singing. And they're amazing because everyone, you know, Adam Sandler's movie. Oh, I can't talk about movies. But, you know, all these depictions of wedding bands when they do them kind of cheesy or whatever, but there's really amazing musicians that are just doing it to supplement their incomes and stuff. And, I forgot what I was going to say. Shit.
How wild is it that somebody just can be going through their home video footage and see footage of you?
Oh yeah. Oh no, I was telling you about, so when I at these performances where I'm asked to come in and sort of be the main attraction, I'm getting paid all this money. I was doing something for, I forget what it was. It was a big event, and it was the band that I will not mention their names, but it was a band that I'd worked with that I had walked off the bandstand, and kind of quit mid bar mitzvah, because a guy was being so emotionally abusive to me. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, my dad's going to be mad at me. He's going to think, you know, how could you, you know, you can't walk off a job or whatever. And I thought it was sort of what defined me, that I believed in myself so much that I wasn't going to take this crap anymore, you know? So that was funny. And then what did you just ask me about the, the video? Oh, yeah. there are probably many VHSs that people are unaware of that I am on of theirs. And sort of my hair would have been kind of like this, but much longer and much higher than this. Like, you know, it would have been teased to the like Joan Cusack kind of in one of those movies. And
speaking of VHSs, though, I do just, I would be remiss not to mention your husband was very important to my VHS collection because I was like obsessed with the Mighty Ducks. And I, this is sort of random, but I just wondered, have you seen those movies? Because he's the Bash brother in those movies. And I mean, Adina, I'm not even kidding. Like, I was obsessed. And I know he came back. There was like a series of.
Is it because he took his shirt off in the penalty box?
Yeah, he took his shirt. In the third one, he took his shirt off in the penalty box. And the second one, there was like a whipped cream scene or something.
He still got
a shirt on, but it's like pajama. I don't know. It was like a sexual awakening for me. So important.
Yeah, where were we recently that someone completely ignored me and just came up to him and were fanning over him? I forget where it was, but yeah, that I love when that happens.
And also the voice of Max, the singing voice of Max in a Goofy movie, which has had sort of this cultural
Can I call him and tell him you're just, you know, citing his old resume? He'd be so proud.
I had to mention that when you mentioned VHS, because the Mighty Ducks movies were truly like peak for me. I mean, I was truly obsessed with those movies. And I think also because of him in a lot of reasons, but I loved it. So I
me too. We have that in common.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. So I want to kind of get into some technical stuff in music because I'm so fascinated. You're such a gifted singer. And I talked a little bit about recordings, but you have these anthemic, I don't even know if that's the right word, songs like a Let It Go, like Defying Gravity, like Rent, like, I mean, so much that is so well known. And I wonder, and this is a very nitty gritty thing, but is there like a phrasing that you're very proud of? Because as I was listening to a lot of your back catalog, I was and thinking about some of these characters you've created. I mean, you created the role for Wicked, and you created a lot of these, or they're from the ground up. And so I wonder, does that make sense to you? Like, is there a phrasing in one of these things that you're like, oh, I'm most proud of that?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Defying Gravity. It was probably like a year before we went to San Francisco or out of town. You know, we did a couple of years of workshops and developmental incarnations of the show. And the end of Defying Gravity used to not go up the octave, not go that high. And it felt, you know, analogous to what I was singing about. And so I asked Stephen Schwartz, can I just take it up? And he's like, oh, can you do that? Like, yeah. So that's, I remember that. And now everyone sings it and sings and they add on. Sometimes it's a little frustrating because you sing something and you document it. And also they were kind of hard on me about not doing too many riffs and things to keep it classic and sing the melody. Don't do too many, you know,
that's how I sing it.
Now, and now I hear these women are incredible and they've just like taken what I did and then they're like, I can top that and I can top that. And I want to be like, I could have done that, but they just wouldn't let me, you know? So, but yeah, I'm most proud of, I mean, one of the moments would be that one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I just have such vivid memories. I discovered the Wicked soundtrack, and I saw it when I lived in Chicago, and I had just come out of the closet, and I have such vivid memories. And Kristen Chenoweth was on the podcast recently, and I told her it meant so much to me, that whole album, because I just remember walking around the streets of Chicago after coming out, and it obviously connecting with the lyrics, but just listening to it over and over again. I'm sure a million gay men have the same story and that same experience, but it really meant the world to me. And the phrasing on that album specifically was, everything is so beautiful. And so I just have to thank you.
I appreciate that. It meant the world to me. It helped me. It taught me so much about who I am and what I have to offer and what I'm hiding, what I'm not offering because I'm afraid of what people will think of me or afraid to be too big or too loud or too angry or, you know, so.
Do you still feel that?
I'm getting better about that. You know, I often apologize if I can tell when I'm in certain business meetings, if I really speak up and I'm direct, then I worry, oh God, are they going to take that I'm a bitch or a diva, you know? And so I usually sort of reel it back or just sort of try to smooth it out a little bit. And, you know, men don't have to do that. So, but yeah, it still happens.
Right. This is sort of random too. And I feel like, I always feel like when I'm interviewing someone like yourself, that I'm like that Chris Farley SNL sketch where he's just like saying, and I loved this and I loved that. But I was also thinking about you, and you're the only person on my Christmas tree every year that has multiple ornaments of you singing. So
I'm on your Christmas tree first. I didn't know that.
Well, I should say that it's, I have a Frozen ornament that sings Into the Unknown. I fucking love that song. And I have a Wicked ornament that sings Defying Gravity, and you're the only person who's
created these. Is it my voice on it though?
I think it is. Yeah.
Like, okay, good.
Are you getting paid for that? You better be getting paid for that.
Well, no comment, but, you know, yeah, you never know. And, you know, my friends are, we are all, striking now. So that AI doesn't take over and replace us in the first place.
There's no AI that can do what you do, Idina Menzel, and that's a fact. Okay, so I want to talk about Beast. I'm obsessed with the song. I'm obsessed with the social media campaign. It's like fun and campy, and I love this song. I need to know everything about how this song came about, and tell me everything.
Do I look totally blurry to your producers?
No, you look good.
No? Okay, yeah. I look blurry to myself, and I just want to make sure that you guys, it's not just, we could put the light on, but it's not just that. It's maybe she has like a really smooth filter on me, so smooth that I don't even stand how good I look. No, it looks a little foggy.
It's the computer.
It's the computer? Okay. Usually I can see some pores or something. Which song were we asking about?
Beast.
Yeah. Can I just say thank you for giving it so much love? You really started the whole deal and made it go viral. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I need a little love, because people have a hard time, you know, letting us out of this box sometimes. And like, did we talk about that in the beginning of the?
No, but I know what you're saying, and I think that song is so good. But I also just want to—I mean, we're going to talk about Beast, but I want to also then—it led me to Dramatic, which I think is like such a fucking good song. Like, it's so good, and yeah. But tell me about Beast. Tell me about Beast.
Okay, Beast is Sir Nolan and Simon Wilcox. I collaborated with them, and I had these, you know, the long, long nails on, which isn't normally my thing, those big, long, pointy ones that everybody's wearing these days. I had them on still from a photo shoot that I was doing. And I was just sort of I don't know. I was feeling feisty and fiery and thinking about people that have sort of tried to hold me back or the people that I've kind of, I've compromised myself for. And that was sort of the mood that I was in. And then the creative process is he was just, he came up with that great groove, I remember. And it just felt right. And then Simon wrote these lyrics with me and it came together really fast, that session.
And so that led me to Dramatic. And mm-hmm. I really think just technically, Dramatic is an incredible song.
Well, I should say, remember you asked me hard songs. So yeah. Jake Shears wrote that song with me and also a friend of ours, Jim Elliott, and Jake Shears from Scissor Sisters, and who I always wanted to work with. And that guy, we wrote the song and we start singing the melody, but he was just naturally singing it in his, what I think is his range, not mine. And, you know, he's a man, so it's just different. And then I thought, well, he'll take it down when I go to sing it. And I was like, so we're going to change the key. He's like, no, bitch, you can sing it in this key. And so that's one of those songs that I get on stage. I was on stage for Pride and I had, I didn't know if I could do it, but it ended up coming out. But yeah, that was a song that I always, that was the title. I knew I wanted to write that song from, that was one of the first songs that I did for the album. And, you know, one of those sort of touches on this idea that that if you're going to be with me, then you have to take all of me, you know, and that I'm pretty cool, even if I'm a lot. What makes me a lot is my, you know, for fear of being redundant on our interview, but like my big emotions are what make me who I am. They make me interesting and a good creative person and a very sensitive, kind person. I think I'm pretty kind and also sexy and all those things. And also, you know, if you get in my way, I will, you know, I will let you know how it feels, and then I'll apologize for it. But so that's what we were writing about. I also love it because I think it has a lot of his style in it as well. I think you can hear that, which was cool.
What's your sign?
Gemini.
Gemini. Okay.
Yeah, makes sense, right?
Talk to me about your inspirations musically. Like, who are I think to me you're one of the greatest singers that we have. I think. Just technically,
Thank
vocally,
you.
I think you're one of the best living singers
Thanks.
We have. But I'm curious, like, who do you like? Like, who are the people who you look at and you're like, oh my God, that voice, or mm-hmm. the way they're able to phrase that, or the technicality yeah. of them?
Well, there are the great singers that you would think of as singers, I guess. There are great interpreters, and then there are great kind of songwritery singers that maybe don't have all that range, but I just love how pure and honest and, you know, how they let life just kind of shine through their voice. So if I had to put them in categories, I'd say, you know, obviously Barbra Streisand was pretty much the first album that I ever owned, was A Star Is Born. And I would listen to all her albums on my bedroom floor in my house back in Long Island. And I was so taken with that, with how crystal clear her voice is and how effortless her high end was and her breath support, how long she could hold her notes, you know, but also just how connected her emotions were in the song. Then when I started to do a lot of those wedding gigs, I had to learn all that music. And I started listening to Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, someone I loved. And then Aretha Franklin and Chaka Khan. I feel like that's sort of where I learned how I wanted to belt. and how effortless they sounded up there in the stratosphere, sort of like on this, they sort of sing on a point. I don't know how else to explain it, but that's kind of without giving away my secret recipe. They sing on a point. It's like, it doesn't, it's contained, but it gets more contained the higher they go. So it sounds just like it's speech, just like, you know, they're on the playground, they're going, hey, you know, how are you? You know what I mean? That's how I think of it. You know, when we're on the playground as kids, we could scream all day and we didn't lose our voices. So, there was that. And then there, and then like now there are people like Adele, who I love, who has the range and the sort of storytelling voice. Oh, and I always cite Annie Lennox as being someone that I love because I think she's extremely dramatic and theatrical, mm-hmm. and yet her music was totally crossover and contemporary and, well, not crossover. She didn't have to crossover. It's just, you know, what it was. But, and she's soulful and creative and sort of eclectic and had great range. So
I
said all women, didn't I?
No, that's good. We like women here. There's that one song Aretha and Annie Lennox do, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. It's one of my all time favorite songs, but their voices are both so unique and yet complement each other so well and are so big. And the sort of climax of that song is just the best.
I know. I just posted, it was my sister's birthday and I just posted a little montage of us and I've used that song.
Maybe that's why it's in my head. Yeah. We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with so much more from Idina Menzel. I want to thank Acast, and we'll be right back. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. When did you know that you were gifted? Was there like a turning point in school or as a kid or something where you're like, oh shit, like I have a great voice?
I don't know if I was like, I'm gifted. Although I do recall, I've talked about a couple different things, but as I'm sitting with you, I'm thinking about the time I auditioned, funny enough, for Dorothy for The Wizard of Oz in the fourth grade for the daytime performance, because there were two. There was the daytime, and that was for the kids, and then the nighttime for the parents. And the parents one was more prestigious, but there was this other girl that was a year older, and so she got seniority and she got to do the evening one, but I was better than her and I knew it back then. But so I sang, did I sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Or I might have sang, there was a song of the water is wide, I can't be, I don't even know who sings that. It's like a famous folk song or something. But my music teacher, Mr. Roper, had taught it to us for the school choir. And I remember singing it up in front of the blackboard and there were teachers and kids. And it was my first sort of audition of any kind. And I would just get this feeling inside, like I was percolating and my heart was beating. And I was terrified, but I also, I think it was more than terror, it was excitement, because I felt like, oh, I have something. People are listening. And my little vibrato is sort of, you know, unrefined at the time. It was kind of shaky and all over the place, but it was a vibrato and it was there. And I think that was one of the times.
Is there something that maybe listeners who are parents, and if their kid is a good singer, something like advice you would give them? I don't know if this even makes sense, but like, is there something mm-hmm. you would tell to parents if they recognize a talent like that, what to do?
I would just say, just go with, take your child's lead, you know, don't push them. Don't start taking them into, don't start making them work and making them go into the adult world and, grow up too fast. Just if they want to have singing lessons and they want to be in some kind of traveling, you know, choir that's like the, you know, what do you call that? What was I in? Let me say it again. Can I say it again? Are we editing this or are we paying it? I would say to support your child, but not to push them, to make sure you instill the joy and the love of what they're doing and the idea that it's fun, that their nerves are good, because it means you're excited to be doing something. You love what you do. I would say, it's funny, I'm saying all this and I'm sort of projecting my own bullshit, because my son is not singing. I think that probably deep down he has a great voice, but he will barely sing for me. I think he's making a point to his dad and I that he's not going to be like us. But he plays basketball. And so here I am telling you, parents, don't push. Meanwhile, I'm the crazy basketball mom at the game screaming like, follow through on your show. Yeah. But the truth is, I only am like that because he loves it, and I can't get him off the court, you know? So if he turned around tomorrow and said he wanted to do something else, I would just give him everything he needed to do something else. So it's more about just trying to not take it so seriously, to just give them what they need to train and work and discover, but to not push them.
Yeah. You know, when I had Kristen Chenoweth on, I had asked her about the sort of Wicked period. And one of the things I'm super fascinated by is around that time, you all were doing so many like press appearances. It was like the Tonys and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which I'm obsessed with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parades. Like, that's a whole nother.
That
topic.
Is the worst gig for us to do.
Why?
So I'm tell glad why. You're obsessed with it.
Wait, tell me why.
Well, it's freezing, and if you're in your costume and it's not layered, you're miserable. It's like you have to get there at 5 a.m. You're doing 8 shows a week, and then they add on, you know, and probably for the holidays, they've added a 9th show, and then they fit in, they bring you all over on a school bus because the things are blocked off, you know, for the parade. So you have to go around and about, and you can't walk over there, and it's just a spiel. And then when I've been on the floats, that's always, I think, this is going to be so much fun. I love it. And it's totally fun at like 85th Street. And then my jaw starts to hurt so much from smiling and waving that I can't. And then at 60th Street, you're like, oh my God, I have 30 more blocks to go.
Well, it's cold. Yeah. I mean, I love watching it. I love the unhinged pairing. So I love that I could tune in and see, like, you know, someone on a float with on the Jennie-O turkey float with like a Mucinex booger singing a song. Like, I'm obsessed with that. But I was going to ask about Wicked. Like, is there sort of like a memory outside of the performing on Broadway, but like, is there a memory from maybe one of those press performances or something that happened that sticks out in your mind? Because I'm sure you've been asked every wicked question under the sun. But like, is there anything that sticks out like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. I'm thinking.
I think Kristen was saying when you had all reunited sort of recently.
What are you asking? Like, I thought you meant back in the day. Definitely more recently, they've been even more powerful or profound to me to be with her after all this time and to sort of take pride, to the two of us, to be able to be together and take pride in what we've created together and its longevity, and to watch how many people it's connected with, you know, and to be with her and to sing For Good together is always extremely emotional. And I was going to say, at the Tonys, I just remember just holding her hand, you know, and like that part of the show where she says, Elphaba. What does she say?
Why couldn't you say calm for once?
Thank you. Thank you.
Flying off the handle.
What is it? I'm not you're happy. What is it? I'm so out of touch.
Instead of flying off the handle, I hope you're happy.
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy too. Okay. Thank you. Glad we're on with you.
I hope you're proud how you have groveled in submission to feed your own ambition. And though I can't imagine.
I can't remember the lyrics right now.
This is going to be your worst duet of all time because I have the worst voice and I'm getting over being sick.
Because you're remembering everything and you sound really good. I remember being really nervous and just squeezing her hands. It's like when you work with someone and you just focus on each other and try to block out all the stuff that's been around you, you know, and just be there together. It's a hard, it's intangible thing to kind of express to you, but
that was it.
And another funny one without her was when I had to do David Letterman. And I always wanted to be on David Letterman. I had this boyfriend back in high school, and it was sort of my first love. And we used to sit in his room late at night. And, you know, after we were sneaking around from his mom doing things we probably shouldn't have been doing. But then we put on David Letterman. He loved him. And so I was like, I want to be on that show one day. And I'm finally on the show and I'm in green makeup and, you know, and we're doing Defying Gravity. And then they have this whole thing where they, you know, they weren't going to bring in the levitation thing from the Gershwin. So they came up with just like a camera, like a crane for a camera that would just kind of go zoop and bring you up. It was kind of like if you were in a high school performance and that's how they would do it, you know? And you know how at the end when bands or musical acts finish, he'll come over and he'll shake your hand. Ah, it was great. So, you know, I wasn't sitting on the couch. It wasn't one of those interviews, which I had always envisioned. And then not only wasn't it that, I was, and I was stuck up there. And then he just came over and just waved. And I was like, hey, you know? I got to come full circle and tell him that story many years later when I was on the show for something else.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. I know that I got to wrap this up, but I ask all of my guests their favorite Mariah Carey song. Mm-hmm. And if you were choosing for People Magazine, Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Okay. Mariah Carey. Scott, why are you laughing? My manager's here. You're looking for something? Oh, I thought you wanted to give me an idea. What's your favorite Mariah song? What's Touch My Body?
Adina, you don't know Touch My Body? It's so good.
Do I? How's it go?
Touch my body, throw me on the floor, wrestle me around, play with me some more. See, you keep making me sing. Don't make me sing, Adina. Don't make me
sing. Yes, please. Why don't I know that song? Maybe if I heard it, I would know. Is it newer, Mariah?
It's slightly newer.
Not like 90s more.
All right.
I think you covered All I Want for Christmas on one of your holiday albums,
yes,
right?
I did, but I couldn't sing it like her.
which I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with holiday music too. I mean, that's a whole nother, we've talked a lot about holidays, but I love that you have two holiday albums. Did you learn anything? I mean, first I need to know the Mariah song.
Yeah. I think it would be, you, what is it? Emotion.
Has it, you got me feeling emotion.
Yeah, that wasn't good either. You're getting me in a place that I can't even remember anything. Yeah, and then what was the other question you asked?
Sexiest man alive.
Oh, other than the Bash brothers?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron, your husband is one of the sexiest men, but other than him, like, or like a childhood one or someone, you know.
Oh, childhood one. Well, probably would have been Rob Lowe back then.
What a stud.
Yeah, stud. I really love Idris Elba. Yes. I also always loved Andy Garcia.
A classic. He was, just, he was still hot, by the way.
A man loves a woman, he gets angry and he always starts to give his accent. His accent comes back when he's like yelling. I've met him a couple times more recently and made a total fool of myself. I was like, you're the top five. You know, you're the past that I always asked my ex-husband that I could have. And Andy Garcia was just like, why am I flirting with this man right now? It's so embarrassing.
I still find him sexy. He was just in the book club movies. And I'm like, he's still sexy.
Still is, and right?
I,
Oscar Isaac is the new Andy Garcia. He doesn't have a little accent. A little... No. And is he?
Cuban.
He is Cuban? Okay.
No.
He's not.
You mentioned When a Man Loves a Woman, which brings me to Meg Ryan.
Moving on.
No, I'm sorry, because I know I got to wrap this up. And I just,
oh, we're good. We're having fun. No
worries. Okay. But Meg Ryan is my one of my favorites. Like, I'm sort of obsessed with
me
Meg
too.
Ryan. And I really would love to see like a classic. I want to see you in a classic rom-com. So I just had to say that.
Thanks. I'll tell my agent that.
And okay, so the Christmas question, though, what did you learn about what makes a good Christmas song? Because you have released two Christmas albums.
I know.
Don't laugh like that. Adina, they're fantastic. What are you laughing
like? Thank
you.
It's like the Jew releasing the Christmas albums. What did I learn? I learned some Christmas albums.
What's your favorite of them? Did you have a favorite that you recorded?
I liked I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's really nice. And I sang it with my husband on the last album. Yeah. I did a version of Ave Maria, which nobody talks about, but it's one of my favorite vocals that I've ever done. And what else? I can't think of a single Christmas song. Can you pull up my two albums right now? What's the one? Damn it. They're all blending into one right now.
So, Baby It's Cold Outside is always on. Baby It's Cold Outside is always on the radio. I feel like your version.
Baby It's Cold Outside, but that's like the sexual harassment song. I can't really sing anymore. It's
but
like
also,
the,
let's all just calm down about that. Like, it,
right?
Yeah.
The like, slip you a Mickey. A Mickey? What's it called?
Is that a thing? Slip you a Mickey?
Yeah. What did I do? Merry Christmas, baby. That's what I did. I did Oh Holy Night into Ave Maria. That's what I liked. I put my son's, singing, Hanukkah songs on there. What's it say? Third Hanukkah. Oh, he's 3 years old. But he was learning. Oh, yeah, he was doing the Hanukkah candles. I was teaching him the Baruch Atah Adonai. I liked something on the other album, the first Christmas one. Sorry, could I take any longer to answer this question?
I could literally sit here and just watch you go through your songs.
My own album to
like,
remind myself what I did.
Adina,
I
please.
Know. But I know there's a specific one that I love because sometimes it comes up in my playlist. Not that I ever like to listen to myself, but it'll come up, you know, random on my phone. And I go, oh, that was pretty good. Oh, Silent Night. That was it.
Classic. Okay. I do want to ask you, hopefully, this is okay to ask, but we're not talking about movie stuff, but the Adele Dazeem of it all is one of the funniest thing that's ever happened, right? Like, I was thinking like,
just to you or to me?
Comedically to me, it's, I think one of the funniest things ever, but I was thinking like, what must that have been like for you? Because from, in a comedy aspect, like it was crazy. Like watching it, and I could still watch that clip and get in tears laughing because it's crazy.
When they show it, I don't even know if you see, if you just see him, can you see me for the eight counts right before? I don't know if you can see that, because then I could describe what's going through my mind. Am I not allowed? I can't really talk about this. Can I? Right. Okay. So let me just say that it was the best thing that ever could have happened to me. Because, sorry, hold on. Don't laugh that I drink a Diet Coke.
You're a Diet Coke drinker? I have this theory that women who drink Diet Coke are my favorite people.
Why? It's so bad for you.
My listeners know that. I'm obsessed. Because I feel like Diet Coke drinkers, I'm a Diet Coke drinker myself, but I feel like we're just a different kind of people. I think we're
a different breed.
Trying our best. And, you know, we're holding it together as best we can, but we need a little boost of caffeine.
That's right.
You know, we're doing the healthiest version of that we can.
That's right.
Yeah.
And thank you for supporting me. What the hell were we talking? Oh, yeah.
Adele
Dazeem. Yeah, because people like you were appalled. So I got all this love, you know, how could that happen to you? And then all the people out there that had no idea who I was at the time were like, who is this person that they're all talking about? What does she do? What's the real pronunciation of her name? And so that kind of broadened my audience, you know. But those, I had done so much preparation to get myself into a mindset where I could try to be in my body and enjoy the experience and not let my nerves get the best of me. So I did a lot of visualization. I got these, I wanted to wear really high heels because I wanted to look long and skinny, but I know that I teeter on long heels and I don't like to sing. So I had these, actually have them in my room if you want to grab them, Anna. They're up on the top shelf. You'll see these crazy platforms like this. They're like a cream colored. And so they gave me, you know, because as long as they're platforms, I'm good, because that makes me feel, they're really high, but they're
sturdy.
You feel even sturdy. Yeah. So I had that. I decided, whatever happens, just sing to Walker, just sing a song to your son, you know. And I knew who was going to be in the front row, because in rehearsal, they put the people's pictures on a big poster so that the camera people can practice, like, you know, cutting to them for their reactions. So it was Meryl Streep. Am I allowed to talk about actors? I am, right? Yeah, that's it. Meryl Streep, Brad Pitt, Amy Adams. And can you see this?
Oh, those are the shoes?
Yeah. It's amazing. Like a kind of like linen.
Yeah. Like a heel with a platform. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're looking at that front row.
Yeah. And then in those, what was it, like 8 seconds or something? In 8 seconds, my mind went from, what the hell did he just say? To, oh my God, I've dreamt of this moment my whole life. And now it's fucked. To stop feeling sorry for yourself, bitch. You know, be grateful. Oh my God, they've started the song. I'm not singing to Walker. You know, I have the shoes on. You're not doing anything that you plan, and sing.
Oh my God, what a mind fuck.
All of that went into those few seconds.
And what a gift to the internet. And I mean, it's just crazy. Like, it just really is like a good guffaw moment. And obviously your performance was incredible as always.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My manager and friend Brittany, she wanted me to ask you about performing with Taylor Swift, because you did, I think, on the 1989 tour. I just saw her Eras tour here in LA, and it was incredible. But anything that kind of sticks out there?
It was amazing. She was as sweet as you would imagine her to be. And then I remember she said, make sure you wear your inner ear, those ear monitors that we wear, so that, because in a stadium, I've never sung in a stadium before, the slap back, the delay is way behind. Oh, actually, I have done that. I sang at the Super Bowl national anthem. So the reverb, the delay, it's not even sometimes. So it's not like it's like, you know, what were we singing before? You got me feeling emotion. It's like way off. So it messes with your pocket. So she said, she was just really nice and gave me tips. And she said, make sure you keep those things in, so you're only hearing yourself, not everything out there. And it was just incredible. She was just great. She was super nice. And she met Walker after, and he was crushing on her. He was little, but she might have been his very first crush.
I just saw her at SoFi Stadium, and I was thinking how tough it would be with that crowd, because it's humongous. It's mm-hmm. And you look out, it would just be overwhelming. But Adina, thank you so much. This was truly a dream come true. You're a queen, an icon, and a legend, and I'm such a huge fan. And I hope I'm a little off my game today because I'm still getting over sickness.
You were incredible.
I was sharp. I'm normally a little more sharp, but
you were very sharp, and I can't hear any congestion.
Okay, good.
So that's good. And you've been so supportive of me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And I'm just so grateful that you're sick and that I'm so grateful that you still did this interview when you're not feeling well. So
I would never miss it. And I want everyone to check out your new album, Drama Queen. You also have a new kids book out that everyone could check out.
My sister. Yes. Everybody should pre-order that. It would mean a lot to me.
Yeah. And a Drama Queen, everything that I've heard on it is so, so good. So I encourage people to go check it out on Spotify, iTunes. It'll be out as of this episode being out. So stream it and enjoy it. And thank you so much, Adina.
Thank you.
Grateful for
lots
all of
love.
Your work.
Lots of love. Thank you.
There's no turn.